Moroni chapter 9, verse 1. My beloved son, I write unto you again, that ye may know that I am yet alive, but I write somewhat of that which is grievous. This letter would have been written to Moroni somewhere prior to the year 385 AD. Verse 2, for behold, I have had a sore battle with the Lamanites, in which we did not conquer, and Archeantus has fallen by the sword, and also Lurum and Emron, yea, and we have lost a great number of our choice men. The three men mentioned here are battle commanders of military contingents of 10,000 men each. These three have fallen prior to the other 23 battle leaders and their 10,000 each, mentioned in Mormon chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. As Mormon is writing this epistle, they have not yet come into the land of Cumorah. Verse 3, and now behold, my son, I fear lest the Lamanites shall destroy this people, for they do not repent, and Satan stirreth them up continually to anger one with another. Uncontrolled rage is a sign of demonic possession. There is a difference between devils, unclean spirits, and demons. While pondering this difference and seeking for inspiration and revelation from the Lord, the following came in bits and pieces over 1 hour's time. All demons are devils, but not all devils are demons. This is the first impression that came. Devils seek the misery of mankind. Demons seek their death and destruction. Demons are lone wolves, dark mercenaries. They prefer to operate separately from a group. Devils use sophistry, cunning, strategy, and flattery. They are content to do their work over a long period of time. Demons are hell-bent and prefer to get the job done now. No sophistication in their efforts. Demons are a law unto themselves. Even in the law and order of hell, they are rebellious and prefer to do their work without counsel nor consent. There is an opportunity for devils to seek for and obtain repentance. Demons are beyond repentance. Demons are highly intelligent and very dangerous because of all of the above characteristics. Demons can only be dispelled by priesthood power and in the name of Christ. Demons are dark corporate ladder climbers. They are willing to take great risks in their realm in order to shortcut the ordinary incentives and rewards offered in the dark kingdom. Some months later, while pondering on this subject, I received the following through the Holy Ghost. Demons are creations of the lords of darkness, the creators of the dark realm. These powerful spirits, the dark lords, have an ability to create, quote, life, unquote, but these creations are completely devoid of truth and God's holy light. Their main function in that kingdom is to enforce, punish, and instill fear among the citizens of that place. They are highly feared there, and the hierarchy of hell uses them to control and intimidate. They have a spirit, but it is not the offspring of the fathers and mothers in heaven. It is instead a sterile breath from the darkness that quickens these messengers of death and dread. They cannot be redeemed because they are not from our father and mother. They can only be destroyed through disillusion and disorganization, returned to matter unorganized and native element. This is accomplished through the ordinances of the holy priesthood and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Swords of light and truth are instruments of their destruction. I believe they are created male and female, a mirror image of the creation of the children of the gods. Since these beings from the world of darkness are generally denied the power to create their own offspring, the creation of demons is a feeble attempt to mimic the magnificent creative power of our Holy Mother and Father in heaven. I invite you to pray and seek for a witness of the Holy Ghost concerning the truthfulness of this message concerning demons. Now, the chapter we're studying, Moroni 9, is filled with the fruits of these devils and demons. One further note concerning these beings: we can and do encounter them here in the flesh. The knowledge recorded here will give us power to meet them in battle and conquer them, and to come off victorious. Father's children will not be allowed to encounter these demons until and unless they are fully prepared to engage them and defeat them in Christ Jesus. Only Father's daughters who are advanced in their spiritual progression will encounter demons. They have power to destroy them through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and because they love not their lives unto death. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. Back to Moroni chapter 9, verse 4. Behold, I am laboring with them continually, and when I speak the word of God with sharpness, they tremble and anger against me. When I use no sharpness, they harden their hearts against it. Wherefore I fear lest the Spirit of the Lord hath ceased striving with them. Verse 5, for so exceedingly do they anger, that it seemeth me they have lost no fear of death, and they have lost their love one towards another, and they thirst after blood and revenge continually. All of these things are signs of demonic possession. In the violence that we see occurring at this time because of geopolitical conditions in the world, you can see this rage, this exceeding anger that is perpetuated against innocent bystanders. They scream and gnash their teeth, threaten with violence and spit upon police and others who will not desert over to their cause. It's in the news daily. These people have lost the ability to make correct choices through personal, individual, moral agency. Notice the word that Mormon uses to describe these people in verses 3, 4, and 5. The reoccurring word is anger. Verse 3, Satan stirreth them up continually to anger one with another. Verse 4, they tremble and anger against me. Verse 5, so exceedingly do they anger. All of us have experienced this demonic anger in what is called road rage. It comes out of nowhere and is unexplainable. Obscene hand gestures, screaming and yelling obscenities. And if you are close enough to look into the eyes of such an individual, you will see a vacancy there. Their eyes are dark, and there is no light in them. Verse 6, and now, my beloved son, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently, for if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. The initial conquering of this enemy of all righteousness is to fight that great battle within the confines of our own soul. We can do little to help others until we ourselves have been changed through the matchless power of the atonement of Christ. Interestingly enough, the most powerful condition we can be in at any time in this battle of life and death for the souls of men is to be filled with the love of God and the pure love of Christ. This love is the one thing that darkness fears the most. Remember that there can be no faith where there is fear present. To engage in battle against these dark ones can be fearful indeed. Return again with me to Moroni 8 and look at verse 16. Woe be unto them that shall pervert the ways of the Lord after this manner, for they shall perish except they repent. Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God, right here. And I fear not what man can do. And I would add also what devils and demons can do. This part, for perfect love casteth out all fear. We must meet the enemy fearlessly upon the battleground of mortality. Courage and bravery in this conflict come because you are filled with the love of God and the pure love of Christ. For it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Verse 6 in Moroni 8 is a great verse to describe the concept of enduring to the end in righteousness. Men have a labor in this world that women do not have, and that labor is to rid ourselves from the blood and sins of the generation in which we live by doing all that we can within our power to lift and edify through serving others and bring our brothers and sisters to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can be converted and healed. You can see the completion of the labor that Mormon's speaking about in verse 6 when he says, "For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay." When you see some of the great prophets, such as Jacob in the Book of Mormon, standing before the people and shaking their garments before the people to rid themselves of the people's blood and sins. This is a powerful priesthood doctrine and ordinance. Verse 7, "And now I write somewhat concerning the sufferings of this people. For according to the knowledge which I have received from Amoron, behold, the Lamanites have many prisoners which they took from the tower of Sherazah, and there were men, women, and children. 8. And the husbands and fathers of those women and children they have slain, and they feed the women upon the flesh of their husbands, and the children upon the flesh of their fathers. And no water, save a little, do they give unto them." Another sign of demonic possession is cannibalism. This depravity has been with us in this world from the beginning and is alive and well as we record these words. The ancient worship of the Canaanite and previous gods of the Old Testament times, such as Baal and Molech, all had as a part of their worship and initiation rites the murder of human beings and the eating of their flesh. It is a rite of passage today for the modern worshipers of these ancient gods. Do not be deceived into thinking that such things are not among us. A quick Google search into these ancient gods and their depraved practices will show you that they are among us in 2020. Verse 9, and notwithstanding this great abomination of the Lamanites, it doth not exceed that of our people in Moriantum. For behold, many of the daughters of the Lamanites have they taken prisoners, and after depriving them of that which was most dear and precious above all things, which is chastity and virtue, and after they had done this thing, which was rape, they did murder them in a most cruel manner, torturing their bodies even unto death. And after they had done this, they devour their flesh like unto wild beasts, because of the hardness of their hearts, and they do it for a token of bravery. These beastly practices continued and were witnessed by the Spanish conquistadors when they came into this country in the early 1500s. Because of these strong perversions that we're reading about here in these verses, and because these acts continued generation after generation, these were delivered up to the Spanish conquerors, who inflicted unbelievable torture and brutality upon these indigenous people, Lamanites, found within the New World. In the book, The Cortez Society, Documents and Narratives Concerning the Discovery and Conquest of Latin America, on pages 125 through 134, we read the following. The Spaniards went to the houses where they found the poor people working in safety at their occupations with their wives and children, and where they wounded them with their lances and cut them to pieces. They also went to a quiet, large, important town where the people were ignorant of what had happened to the others and were safe in their innocence. Within barely 2 hours, they destroyed it, putting women, children, and the aged to the sword and killing all who did not save themselves by flight. The captain of this Spanish group, Pedro de Alvarado, advanced killing, ravaging, burning, robbing, and destroying all the country wherever he came. It was Alvarado's custom when he went to make war on some town or province to take with him as many of the Indians as he could to fight against the others, and as he led 10 or 20,000 and gave them nothing to eat, he allowed them to eat the Indians they captured, and so a solemn butchery of human flesh took place in his army, where in his presence children were killed and roasted, and they would kill a man only to eat his hands and feet, which were esteemed the best bits. They deprived the husbands of their wives and daughters and gave them to the sailors and soldiers to keep them contented and bring them on board the ships. They crowded Indians into the ships where they all perished of hunger or thirst, and in truth, were I to recount his cruelties one by one, I could make a big book that would astonish the world. By other massacres and murders beside the above, Alvarado and his brothers, together with others, have killed more than 4 or 5 million people in 15 or 16 years, from the year 1524 until 1540. It's interesting that the Lamanites survived the Nephites, because in verse 9 it says, the abomination of the Lamanites did not exceed the abomination of the Nephites at Moriantum. Verse 11, O my beloved son, how can a people like this that are without civilization, verse 12, and only a few years have passed away, and they were a civil and a delightsome people. 13, but O my son, how can a people like this, whose delight is in so much abomination. 14. How can we expect that God will stay his hand in judgment against us? 15. Behold, my heart cries, woe unto this people, Come out in judgment, O God, and hide their sins and wickedness and abominations from before thy face. Back to Moroni 9, verse 16. And again, my son, there are many widows and their daughters who remain at Sherazah, and that part of the provisions which the Lamanites did not carry away, behold, the army of Zenephi has carried away and left them to wander whithersoever they can for food. Many old women do faint by the way and die. It was always the custom of these Native Americans to first and foremost care for the old, the women, and the children. When they are not in a state of such abject apostasy and brutality, it would have been unthinkable to leave widows and their daughters and old women to faint and die by the wayside for lack of food and water. But this Nephite commander and his army have taken Lamanite provisions stored at Sherazah for themselves and left the weaker of their people to perish and die. 17. And the army which is with me is weak, and the armies of the Lamanites are betwixt Sherazah and me, and as many as have fled to the army of Aaron have fallen victims to their awful brutality. Now there are many Nephites at this time who desert over to the Lamanites and join them, but this group who sought to desert to the Lamanites fell victim to their awful brutality. Did the Lamanites brutalize these Nephite defectors because of a lack of respect for them, being cowards and traitors to their own people? The bodies most mutilated by the Sioux and Cheyenne warriors at the Battle of the Little Bighorn were those soldiers who killed themselves, committed suicide rather than fall into the hands of their enemies or fight to the death. These warriors respected bravery and disrespected cowardice. Is this the fate of these Nephites, which have sought to defect to the armies of Aaron in verse 17? 18. Oh, the depravity of my people! They are without order and without mercy. Behold, I am but a man, and I have but the strength of a man, and I cannot any longer enforce my commands. Verse 19, they have become strong in their perversion, and they are alike brutal, sparing none, neither old nor young, and they delight in everything save that which is good. More evidences of demonic possession. And the suffering of our women and our children upon all the face of this land doth exceed everything. Yea, tongue cannot tell, neither can it be written. Verse 20, now, my son, I dwell no longer upon this horrible scene. Behold, thou knowest the wickedness of this people. Thou knowest that they are without principle and past feeling, and their wickedness doth exceed that of the Lamanites. Now look at the words that Mormon uses to describe the fallen state of his people. Verse 11, they are without civilization. Verse 12, they are no longer a civil and a delightsome people. Verse 18, oh, the depravity of my people, they are without order and without mercy. Verse 19, they have become strong in their perversion. Brutal, sparing none, delighting in everything save that which is good. And verse 20, they are without principle and past feeling. There is a future day coming when these things will be duplicated once more. There needs to be a great cleansing of all telestial element from off the face of this earth. This element will not go quietly nor willingly. These will destroy themselves, and great shall be their destruction. It is the great prophesied fall of the latter-day Babylon. The righteous and those who love the Lord and seek to do His will must separate themselves from this society or suffer with it. The Lord is providing time, circumstances, and opportunities for those who love Him and keep His commandments to come out of her, the great whore of the latter days. Everything that we see being done currently, politically, to drag darkness into the light and to uncover and unveil secret combinations and demonic plans is being done to give the righteous time to strengthen their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn how to converse with Him through the veil, how to receive the ministry of angels in order to be warned, protected, and guided by them in the coming day. All of this takes time, and the Lord is providing us with this window of time and opportunity to prepare if we are wise enough to recognize His hand. Listen to President Nelson. Pray for President Trump. Follow the directions of the Spirit. Develop your gifts through the power of the Holy Ghost. Ask the Lord if the course of life that you're pursuing is pleasing to Him, and receive a witness from Him in answer to that question, which will provide an anchor of faith to your soul in the coming days of tribulation and trial. For lo, they are upon us. Why did Moroni insert this chapter describing these awful scenes of brutality and depravity among His people for us in our day? It's because these things are going to repeat themselves once again in our day. We must awaken and be aware of what's coming. Seek to be filled with the love of God and His Christ, and all will be well with you. Verse 21, Behold, my son, I cannot recommend them unto God, lest He should smite me. It's too late for the Nephites. They will need to be transferred into another realm of existence, with a disadvantage because of the decisions they have made while in mortality. They did not improve their time while in this day of life. The night of darkness has descended upon them, and they are left without advantage in the world to come. Verse 22, But behold, my son, I recommend thee unto God, and I trust in Christ, that thou wilt be saved. And I pray unto God that He will spare thy life to witness the return of His people unto Him, or their utter destruction. For I know that they must perish except they repent and return unto Him. Well, they didn't repent, and they did perish. 23. And if they perish, it will be like unto the Jaredites, because of the willfulness of their hearts, seeking blood and revenge. Verse 24, And if it so be they perish, we know that many of our brethren have deserted over unto the Lamanites, and many more will also desert over unto them. Wherefore, write somewhat a few things, if thou art spared, and I shall perish and not see thee. But I trust that I may see thee soon, for I have sacred records that I would deliver up unto thee. Now there were many, notice the words, many of our brethren who have deserted over unto the Lamanites, and many more will also desert over unto them. So to say that all of those who are of Nephite heritage perished except a very few, along with Moroni at Cumorah, is not correct. Notice the wording in verse 24, many have deserted, and many more will also desert. Some of these will be put to death, some will be assimilated into the Lamanite society. Remember also that there is a whole society of people north of the Lamanite Nephite lands who have been there for over 400 years at the time that Mormon is writing these words in Moroni chapter 9. This civilization of people to the north cover the north lands from the East Sea to the West Sea, up around the Great Lakes and into southern Canada. They are a people who separated themselves because they could observe the flaws in the Nephite nation, which have led to the very things that we're reading about in this chapter. They came out of the Nephite Babylon and separated themselves from the flaws they could observe in the religious worship and the political structure of the Nephite people. They were inspired to separate themselves then, as many are being inspired to separate themselves now, from the iniquity and sin that pervade our current civilized state. The Lord is moving His children who love Him and have learned to hearken to the voice of the Lord to, as the church is teaching us at this time, hear His voice. And those that do will find themselves in places of safety and peace, a refuge from the storm and from wrath when it is poured out without mixture upon the whole earth. Back to Moroni 9, verse 25, "My son, be faithful in Christ, and may not the things which I have written grieve thee to weigh thee down unto death. But may Christ lift thee up, and may his sufferings and death, and the showing his body unto our fathers, and his mercy and long sufferings, and the hope of his glory and of eternal life rest in your mind forever." 26. "And may the grace of God the Father, whose throne is high in the heavens, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who sitteth on the right hand of his power, until all things shall become subject unto him, be and abide with you forever. Amen." Both Mormon, Moroni, and Joseph Smith have seen the great throne of the Father in the celestial world. Joseph Smith described that throne in section 137, verse 3, "Also the blazing throne of God, whereon was seated the Father and the Son." They dwell in a celestial world, a world of everlasting burnings. May the purpose of Moroni 9 be fulfilled in us, as we learn to recognize the evil that surrounds us as it did them. May we be filled with the love of God the Father and the pure love of Christ to successfully wage a war against these who seek to dethrone God and His Christ. May we be once again found in the forefront of this battle, as we have hitherto been, for we are now at that point in this world where we were in the previous world when the conflict was decided and the controversy ended, is my prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same who said, "Their arm shall be my arm, and I will be their shield and buckler. I will gird up their loins, and they shall fight manfully for me, and their enemies shall be under their feet, and I will let fall the sword in their behalf, and by the fire of my indignation will I preserve them." Amen.